This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tonight we get another opportunity to see the Democratic candidates for their primary this evening in Des Moines, Iowa, just a few weeks away from the first caucus of the presidential election season. And joining us to talk about this and other issues, Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Newell. Happy to be here.
Ron, you know, obviously last evening the president makes an appearance at the national championship game. I think he continues to go down this track of trying to deflect, divert, change the course of what the news cycles are, anything but talking about impeachment.
Well, and that's a smart strategy for him. It's basically what Bill Clinton did when he was under the same situation. You know, it's important for a president during an impeachment process to make the point that he's doing his job while everybody else is playing politics. And that's his strategy, and it was Bill Clinton's strategy. And frankly, at this point, it's working.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt. I mean, he's not going to allow anybody else to out-news cycle him.
Well, he never does. And, you know, he's drawn to a big audience and a news audience like a moth to a flame. And he was here last night because it was the biggest audience in the country. And so, you know, he's going to keep doing that, and he's a master at it. Whether you like Donald Trump or not, you have to admit he's a master at public communications and being able to turn around things to his favor.
Absolutely. So, Ron, tonight the debate, six candidates, Tom Steyer, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, and Amy Klobuchar. This is getting more and more compact. We've had another candidate fall out. Cory Booker announced the other day he's out. I think it was yesterday. So things are beginning to change. Things are beginning to tightening up. And the polls in Iowa are all over the map.
They are. You know, over the last few weeks, we've seen Buttigieg ahead. The last poll we saw today had Biden ahead. The poll that came out yesterday had Sanders ahead. A couple of months ago, Elizabeth Warren was ahead. So everybody has sort of had their turn in the barrel. And Iowa is like that. The last week of an Iowa caucus, there's often a lot of fluctuation. So between now and February 3rd, anything can happen.
But one thing seems to stay very consistent, and that is the strength of the minority vote for Joe Biden.
It is. It's been consistent from the very beginning, even though we had strong African-American candidates like Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, who got out the race yesterday, and even now Deval Patrick, who doesn't seem to be getting any traction at all. Joe Biden has kept a strong lead among African-American voters, although I would say when you look at other groups, for instance, Hispanic voters around the country, Biden doesn't do as well. In fact, most of the polls show Bernie Sanders leading Hispanic voters.
And as we lead in the aftermath of Iowa to New Hampshire, it looks like Joe Biden has moved to the front of that pack as well.
He has. And, it wasn't too long ago where Biden was running third or fourth in both Iowa and New Hampshire. And the last round of polls today show Biden running first in those two states. So it's moving around, but all of these fluctuations are happening within about a 5 or 6 point range. It's not like Biden went from nothing first. There have been fluctuating around all the time. But and the other thing about Iowa that you always have to keep in mind, because of the nature of the Iowa caucuses, you know, it's not a regular election. People are going to meetings and they have to stand up, and candidates who don't meet the threshold in a particular precinct oftentimes will abandon their candidate and go with another candidate. So it can cause a lot of activity at the very end.
Yeah. Ron, when we continue to look at what's going on amongst those left standing in the primaries, what could we expect to see? Anything different tonight in tonight's debate with a more compact group, six individuals, Steyer on the stage? I think this is his first time, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he's been on a couple of times.
Oh, that's right. Before. No, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What can we expect?
Well, you know, that's the big question, and usually debates don't turn out the way everybody expects them to. So I've gotten out of predicting what's going to happen in debates until they're over with, then I'll talk about them. But I think the big thing tonight is who is going to go after whom. You know, will Sanders and Warren go after one another? Will Biden and Sanders go after one another? Will Buttigieg try to go after somebody? Same thing for Klobuchar and Steyer. You know, I mean, even if you're not a major candidate like Klobuchar or Steyer at this point, you know, you can still be an effective attack vehicle against somebody. And one thing that is still interesting is, even though Klobuchar is out of the top four candidates, her vote has gone up in Iowa. And given the fact that the leaders are only in the low 20% range, you know, it's not impossible for her to move up at the very end. So if you're going to look for some kind of a surprise, that could be something to look for.
Do you think the theme is going to become more prevalent in this respect? In most of the polls, what everybody's saying is, it's almost as though it's like, I don't really care who the candidate is, as long as he can beat Trump, he or she can beat Trump.
Well, I think that's true, theoretically, but I also think that when somebody really believes in a candidate, like a Bernie Sanders, then they start believing that he can beat Trump. And actually, when you look at the polls, even though Biden clearly does better against Trump than any other Democrat, Bernie Sanders generally is second. And there are polls that have shown him leading Trump. Now, you know, Biden usually has a bigger margin than Sanders does, but it's hard to make the case, even though most people, you know, when you look at Bernie Sanders, you say, now, how is a man almost 80 years old, who isn't even technically a Democrat, and who says he's a socialist, how is he going to get the presidential nomination? And I think most Democratic politicians say that. But on the other side of the coin, he's raised an enormous amount of money and has a big organization all over the country. And as he proved 4 years ago, he gets votes. So who knows where it goes? But Biden's campaign is arguing the electability issue full force right now. They have a new ad that literally shows polls on the ad that he's doing better than the other candidates against Trump. So we'll see what happens. You know, the electability argument is a two-edged sword. You can live and you can die by it, because if the polls shift all of a sudden, as we've seen historically, that can happen. Then the argument goes down the tubes.
Talk about shifting. You know, when we think about focus, Nancy Pelosi announces today they will take a vote tomorrow in sending over the articles of impeachment over to the Senate. There's been a lot of push-pull tug-of-war over hurrying this process along. How much of a distraction will this be, do you think, to the Democratic primaries?
Well, it's a big news story. So like any big news story, it's going to take some attention away. But one of the things I think that's really interesting about impeachment now is I don't think most voters are really thinking about it very much and frankly care about it very much. You know, obviously anti-Trump people want to see him removed from office. Pro-Trump people don't. But I don't think most people are really thinking about this. I think they believe it's a foregone conclusion. He's not going to be removed from office, and in a few weeks it's going to all be over with. So I'm not sure it is that big of a distraction. Now, where it becomes a distraction is these Democratic candidates who are senators, like Sanders and Warren and Klobuchar, they're going to be stuck in the Senate when they would prefer being in Iowa and New Hampshire. So and particularly for somebody like Klobuchar, who's behind and who needs to spend time in these states to get our recognition up. And the same for Elizabeth Warren. You know, she slipped a pretty good bit in these early states, and she needs to, you know, get her mojo back there. And it's hard to do it if you're stuck in Washington.
Absolutely. Nancy Pelosi is basically saying if the Senate doesn't call witnesses, it's a cover-up. And it seems as though the majority of those that have been polled recently here want to see a witness. Your thoughts?
There's a strong majority of of Americans who think there should be witnesses, and it's possible there will be. I saw this morning that you have a possibility of four Republican senators voting with Democrats on having witnesses, which would be enough to bring it about.
Ron, we're going to get to a break. When we come back, I want to talk about they elected a new Speaker of the House here in Louisiana, President of the Senate. John Bell gets inaugurated. Your thoughts as to where this state is moving? And President Trump said while he was in town that John Bell's a pro. And he seems to think that they're going to be able to do good things for the state of Louisiana together. We'll get your thoughts when we come back. Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron, Clay Schecksnyder called the House of Representatives in this state legislative body a fiercely independent body, vowed to put people over special interest, and decried the rise of Washington-style partisan warfare in Baton Rouge, much to the chagrin of Attorney General Jeff Landry and Senator John Kennedy and Lane Grigsby with LABI, the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry, that went on a full court press on behalf of Sherman Mack, and it didn't work out that way. Clay Schecksnyder hooked up with a bunch of Democrats, got elected on a vote of 60-45 in the House. And, you know, Ron, it seems as though this mantra of bipartisanship approach to trying to solve problems with and bring forward solutions, that mantra seems to be gaining, you know, in some areas. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it is because people are so sick and tired, of what they see in Washington, where nothing gets done and it's nothing but a partisan war going on every day. And I think some people in the state legislative level here are saying, you know, we're Democrats, we're Republicans, whatever we may be, but we want things to work and we want people to work across the lines to get things done. And I think that's the smart approach. I think building bipartisan coalitions around issues, working across the political lines, while it may not always be possible and it may not always be desirable, depending upon what you're for, but it is something that should be possible. And it looks like the action that the House took yesterday is in line with doing that. We'll see how it works.
How much of this kind of momentum on this issue can we attribute to what I would say is Governor John Bel Edwards' tempered and mature approach to dealing with this issue?
Well, I think that's part of it. You know, he was able to get elected with the votes of some Republicans and some Trump supporters, not a lot, but some. And he was always, I think, pretty smart in how he dealt with that during the campaign, that he didn't go out and attack and criticize Republicans and didn't go out and attack and criticize the president even. And sort of kept the door open to work together. So I think what he has done has been smart. The question is now, how is he going to use that political capital? I think he still needs a vision for the state. I think he still needs an agenda for the state, particularly as it concerns building the economy up over time. So we'll have to see where what he comes up with for that.
I for one think that early on in this legislative session, we're gonna find out exactly what people are thinking, whether or not they're gonna put, these interests of the state over political parties. There's been, as you know, and we've talked about this before, there's been a huge push by the national parties in identifying key races or offices within the state infrastructure, the attorney general's office being one. In many other states, it's the state treasurer that has a lot of authority in targeting those races for purposes of developing their grassroots campaign on a national level.
Well, that is true, and both sides are doing it. Usually what happens is when one side starts doing something like that and it starts working, then the other side gets in on the act, and I think that's happening. We've seen a lot of both conservative groups, reform groups, and teachers' unions and liberal groups get involved in school board races, for example. And most recently, we've seen more activity with state attorneys general in their elections. So we do see that. There's nothing wrong with that as long as the people who are elected are putting the interest of the state above the interest of the party. When they start crossing that line, that's when it becomes a problem.
So is this kind of a would you interpret this as a shot across the bow kind of to Jeff Landry and John Kennedy and Lane Grigsby and others that were really on a full court press to elect someone else as the speaker?
Well, to some extent, I think it was something of a declaration of independence. But that doesn't mean that they're going to turn their backs on these people. John Kennedy is pretty popular with most Republicans in the legislature. I suppose Jeff Landry is to some extent. And Lane Grigsby supported a lot of these Republicans who were elected. So it's not that they're breaking with them. I think that they're sending a message that they're not willing to go to a scorched earth Washington-style politics. And I think, there's a difference.
Biggest challenge for John Bell this 4 years?
Well, I think his biggest challenge is for him to move from being a transactional governor, which means dealing with day-to-day problems, towards a transformative governor. And that means looking at the future and developing an agenda and a vision for where the state should go. He spent most of his first 4 years dealing with the budget and taxes and making cuts and raising taxes and trying to balance the budget. That was the situation that he was given when he became governor. But now I think he has an opportunity to use these 4 years to really sort of paint a picture as to where Louisiana is going, to get us off the bottom of the good list and to get us on the top of those lists. And a lot of it has to do with the economy and building the economy up. A lot has to do with education and job training and the workforce. A lot has to do with ports and waterways system and to use the state's natural resources and natural resources to build a new economy and to build a stronger economy. And I think that's his big task. And he hasn't seemed to to talk a lot about that and spend a lot of time on it. And I think it would be wise for him to do that.
The president said John Bell is a pro when he came down for the game yesterday. And he says, you know, that they can anticipate them doing good things together. This president never misses a beat.
Well, you know, Donald Trump is above all a salesman, and salesmen always like to say what he thinks the audience wants to hear, and I think that's what he was doing there. I think Trump was respectful of the fact that they went at John Bel Edwards full force and that Edwards won. So he's got the respect for a winner there. And one of the things that Edwards did, which was very wise during the campaign, is to continue to say, look, I know President Trump's not supporting me, but I've worked with President Trump already, and I will continue to do so. And I thought that was a good sign that for the state, where the president and the governor can work together on some issues that might be in the state's interest. You know, Louisiana is a popular state in the White House. It voted for President Trump by a wide margin. It's considered part of the president's base in the Electoral College, and so the delegation in Washington, be they Republicans or Democrats and the governor, need to do whatever they can to turn that goodwill into benefits for Louisiana, and hopefully they all will work in the same direction.
Ron, as always, we appreciate your time, always appreciate your insight, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. I know it was a late night last night, if you did like I did, watching that incredible football game.
It was a late but a great night, and as a law school alum, I was really proud of our Tigers.
Absolutely. Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Thanks again. We'll be checking in with you very soon, I'm sure. All right, 260-1870 or text 870-870. What are your thoughts? Is this a change? Are you pleased by the election of Mr. Schecksnyder as Speaker of the House? One where he says that he vows to put people over special interests and decries the rise of Washington-style partisan warfare in Baton Rouge. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.